It's very interesting. Let's say someone wins the lotto. Chag Sameach, my name is Shalom. Someone wins the lotto, he gets his check for $1 million, and a few million dollars, whatever it is, he goes about his business, and like 6 months later he decides, oh, I won lotto, I'm so happy. What happened? You won the lotto 6 months ago. Why are you so celebrating now? The Ben Ishchai says, we got the Torah 4 months ago on Shavuot. Come Chodesh Tishri, we're celebrating Simchat Torah. Like, why don't we celebrate Simchat Torah on Shavuot? Seemingly, we got the Torah back then. We should be happy back then. Torah is the most important thing in the world. It's what makes us a nation. We won the lotto. We married Hashem's daughter. And we're only celebrating 6 months later. It doesn't make any sense. So the Ben Ishchai tells the Mashal about a very, very fine, wise man who's successful in all of his endeavors. And he marries a woman. He's so happy. He marries her. And until he finds out that, you know, despite the fact that everything looks nice on the exterior, that she actually has this little disease that her looks can kill. When she gets angry, she actually kills people. If you're in her way, in her rage, so then you're in a major danger, major sakana. So he realizes he has, you know, he wants to make it work. He doesn't want to let go of his wife. He loves her. So he says, okay, every night I'll sleep in a separate room in case she gets angry overnight, and I'll be asleep, so she won't kill me because I'll be in a different room. He tries to make it work, this man, even though his wife has this crazy disease, whatever it is. The problem is that they have a baby, and one day his wife gets angry, and she kills the baby. So he says, no, I can't do this. He divorces his wife, and he moves on with his life. But this guy is very successful, and whenever there are people who are successful, there are people who are not happy with their success. He gets framed, and he gets framed by some people. They kind of tax fraud, whatever it is, and he gets thrown in jail. And one day while he's in jail on death row for whatever he did, one day the warden comes over to him and says, you know what? I have a deal for you. You can go free today. This is a crazy story, but bear with me. You can go free today on one condition. You marry the king's daughter. And the guy's like, what? One more time? He's like, yeah, marry the king's daughter. The king wants you to marry his daughter, and you can go free today. So he's like, wait, let's see. Why would the king want me, a public villain, to marry his daughter? The king's daughter should marry a prince or a king from another nation or something like that. Why would she marry me? It must be she's either not so pretty, quite unpretty, or she also has this crazy disease that my former wife had. But you know what? I'm on death row anyway. What do I stand to lose? I might as well take my chances and see what it's like marrying the king's daughter. So he says, okay, he tells the warden, I'll marry the king's daughter. So he goes free. He goes. They take him straight to the chuppah. And under the chuppah, he meets his wife for the first time, and he takes a look, and she's gorgeous. She's drop-dead gorgeous, and he's like, wait a minute, this is crazy. This is the king's daughter. I'm a prisoner. I've been framed and put in prison. They think I'm a villain. Why are they giving me the king's beautiful daughter? It must be. The only logical explanation is, this is a very wise man, he did all the cheshbonot, the only explanation is that this woman still has the exact same disease as my previous wife. And the entire time, he's so anxious, so besides himself, what's going to be? The wedding goes by, everyone's happy and dancing, it's a royal wedding, it's a big affair, and he can't be b'simcha. And then the Sheva Brachot, he's not afraid to sleep in the same room because there's always people coming in and out, it's a big simcha, everyone's in their house all week long, but he's not so afraid of what could happen, but he's pretty anxious, like, what's with this woman, what's going to be? How are we going to live together when the celebrations die down? She's going to go crazy, and she's going to kill me. So eventually, after the Sheva Brachot are over, he wakes up in the morning, and he sees his wife come over to him in her royal garb. She's a princess. She comes over to him in his royal garb with a cup of coffee. And he takes the cup, and he throws it on the floor, spills it all over the place. She picks up the cup and says, oh, he probably doesn't like that flavor. And she picks it up, takes it, and refills it, and brings it back. And then he takes it again, and he chucks it, and breaks the glass. She's like, oh, it was probably too cold for him. So she goes, or probably too hot for him, whatever. She goes, she fills up another cup of coffee. She brings it for him, and this time he doesn't just take it and throw it. He spills it on her. He spills it on her clothes. He ruins her royal garments, and she starts crying. She doesn't know what to do. What's my husband, my beloved husband, what is he doing to me? So she can't believe what's going on. She runs out of the room in tears. And she doesn't know what to do. Her maidservant, who came with her from the palace, sees this and says, goes to the king and says, tells the king everything that's been happening. And the king calls in his son-in-law. He's like, is this true? You abuse my daughter? You know what you're doing? You're abusing the princess? And the man says, no, you don't understand, Your Honor. Your Majesty, you don't understand. I had this wife, she had this disease, and I had to divorce her, and I was framed, I was thrown in jail, and I had to make this whole cheshbon about your daughter, and I assume that your daughter also has this problem. And I couldn't be happy during the simcha, during the wedding. I didn't have a second to be happy because I never knew if she really could have killed me if I had gotten her angry or not. So once there were no other things that could get in the way, it was a completely controlled experiment, and I tested her to make sure that she wouldn't kill me if she got angry. Now I realize that you really were doing me a favor when giving me your daughter. Now I can truly be happy. Now I can really rejoice. And the king says, you know what? That's how you made the cheshbon. We should celebrate again. They celebrate the entire wedding all over again. Says the Ben Ishchai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, but there were a few steps before that. First, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, there were some wise people in the world. And they did things, and they had philosophies and ideologies that led them to believe that there's more than one God. And everything that they did made them believe in Avodah Zarah. There were wise men out there, but their wives could kill. They led them in the wrong direction, though as nice as they looked, ideologically, philosophically, it always led to Avodah Zarah. And then Avraham Avinu comes, and he says, there's only one God in this world. And he starts making a revolution, but the problem is his kids ended up in jail. They ended up in Mitzrayim, and not only did they end up in Mitzrayim, they ended up just like everybody else, doing Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, if you want to get out of jail, one thing. You have to marry my daughter, the king's daughter. Moshe sends Moshe Rabbeinu and says, you want to come out of jail, you want to come out of Mitzrayim, you have to marry the king's daughter, marry HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daughter, marry Torah. Accept the Torah and I'll take you out of Mitzrayim today. And Klai Yisrael says, listen, we're already in jail, what do we have to lose? We're going to go. So they leave Mitzrayim, they go to accept the Torah at Har Sinai, but the entire time, something's not right. We were prisoners, we were slaves, how can it be? It can't be that the king is giving us his daughter. The Bigei Sahara came and told them all these sorts of things. The Torah is fit for Malachim. It's not for the Jews, the Malachim said. It's for us, the Malachim said. So the Bigei Sahara told them also, you people, you do an Avera, you'll chayav mitai, you'll chayav malkot, sikila, sarifa, harik v'chenek. Hashem's not out to help you, he's out to kill you. He wants you to do Averot and mess up and die. So the Jews weren't sure. So when they got the Torah on Har Sinai, they just couldn't be so happy. And then they even messed up. They tested Hashem with Chet HaEgel. And when they saw, after 40 plus 40 days on Har Sinai, they finally realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur gives them Echila, Selicha, V'Chapara. That's when they could finally be happy on Simchat Torah, that Hashem isn't out to get them, he's out to help them. That was the re-celebration of the entire wedding that followed with the Chanukat HaMizbeach, Chanukat HaMishkan, over the course of Sukkot in the Midbar. That's exactly why we celebrated then, because we finally found out that Hashem is out to help us with the Torah. He loves us and wanted to give us his daughter, to give us a good life with his daughter, and to bring us close to be the king's son-in-law. And that's why every single year, you know, we test Hashem, we pile on the Averot all year long. But we go through the Aser Yimei Teshuvah, Yamim Noraim, and we cleanse ourselves of the Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, you know what? I'm willing to forgive you. And we say, oh, Hashem, you're out to help us. Now we can celebrate getting the Torah 4 months ago on Simchat Torah. Chag Sameach. Yeah.